Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County, total cases both confirmed and probable, 1,964. Hector County negative, 8,698 out of 11,607 tested, with 945 pending, 19 deaths. Recovered, 816. Active cases, 1,129. Midland County, 1,194 confirmed cases with 21 deaths. Texas, 264,313 confirmed cases with 2,820,803 tested. Total Texas deaths, 3,235. U.S. cases, 3,296,599 total confirmed cases and 134,884 deaths. Find out more online at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Hall of Fame needs nominations. The Petroleum Hall of Fame is dedicated to those who cherish the freedom to dare and whose work and service helped build the Permian Basin. Nominations for candidates to be inducted into this prestigious group will be accepted through August 24th. The Hall of Fame Committee will consider nominees based on a set of criteria, including candidate should have made outstanding contributions to the development of the petroleum industry affecting the Permian Basin. A candidate for election to the Hall of Fame may be living or deceased. Neither wealth nor the absence of wealth will be considered as factors in an election. A cover letter must include the name of the candidate and a clear statement as to why the candidate should be considered, followed by a biographical sketch. The next induction ceremony and dinner will be held on April 29, 2021, welcoming the newest members selected from nominations received by the August 24th deadline. For more information and a full list of nominating criteria and instructions, visit pbpetro.org/Hall of Fame or contact Tiffany Bradley, staff liaison to the Hall of Fame Committee, at tbradley@petroleummuseum.org or call area code 432-683-4403.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing reading today's Odessa American local articles for Tuesday, July 14th. Man charged with sexual assault of young relative, from staff reports. An Hector County Sheriff's Office affidavit detailed an 8-year-old girl stated a 49-year-old male relative sexually assaulted her multiple times. Bobby Wayne McDowell was charged with continuous sexual assault of a child, a first-degree felony. The sexual assaults reportedly started in April and ended May 31st, after the 8-year-old returned from a trip with McDowell and his wife. During a forensics interview, the girl stated McDowell, who owns RV parks in Gardendale, has ATVs on the RV property. The girl detailed when the relative's wife would have to work that she and McDowell would go ride ATVs. The girl reportedly detailed during the interview that Bobby McDowell would sit behind her and put his left hand on top of her shorts under her underwear. The girl reported that McDowell told her he could get into a lot of trouble if she ever told anyone. The girl also stated the relative and his wife would take her and her little sister to the lakes, the affidavit stated. The girl stated she had jet skis. The girl stated he would sit in the middle of the jet ski and put her in front of him and put her little sister behind him. The ECSO affidavit detailed the girl stated during the interview that he would put his left hand down her bikini bathing suit bottom. McDowell would reportedly use his right hand to help her press the gas button and she would steer. McDowell's hand would reportedly move around until they would stop riding the jet skis. A couple of weeks before the outcry, the girl reportedly detailed that McDowell was putting his hand on her a lot and she didn't like it and she wanted it to stop. She didn't stop crying until another family member at the lake asked her what was wrong, and she told her that he keeps inappropriately touching her and she can't take it anymore. The other family member made the girl tell the relative's wife what she told her, and the woman confronted her husband, at which time he apologized. McDowell and his wife reportedly took the girl and her sister home and told the girl's parents. Bobby McDowell reportedly cried, apologized, and stated he didn't know why he was doing that. ECSO attempted numerous times to contact McDowell, but he didn't answer the phone calls or allow contact at his residence. His wife also hasn't been contacted. Bobby McDowell was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Friday, a jail employee stated over the phone. McDowell had one bond totaling $50,000 and posted bail on Saturday. According to healthgrades.com, McDowell is a family nurse practitioner in Odessa. Madison Tate, the director of marketing and communications at Odessa Regional Medical Center, stated in an email, Bobby McDowell is employed by Shoemaker Clinical Partners, not ORMC, and all his privileges have been suspended. Many students bored with online content, by Ruth Campbell. Many Ector County ISD students said in a survey they did not find the remote curriculum challenging or rigorous enough and often found themselves bored during the spring semester. ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray shared the statistics gathered from a Panorama Education survey during the Future of Schools, Elevating Student, Staff, and Community Voices During and Beyond COVID-19, a webinar broadcast by EdWeek, an independent news organization covering kindergarten through 12th grade education. Rowena Mack, District Coordinator, Services for English Learners at Saddleback Valley United School District in Mission Viejo, California, also participated in Monday's webinar. It was moderated by Venutha Kumar, Outreach Coordinator of Panorama Education. Panorama helps educators act on data to improve student outcomes in social-emotional learning, school climate, family engagement, and more, its website said. Murray said listening is critical during this time of COVID-19. He said 75% of staff and students were not at all, slightly, or somewhat engaged in remote learning, and 70% of staff said that almost no students, a few students, or about half of the students participated in distance learning in the past week at the end of the year. As educators thought about distance learning week by week, Murray said they recognized that more than half of students were not having a meaningful remote learning experience. Students in grades 3-5 were asked during the past week how often did they feel happy, excited, sad, lonely, or bored. Students were experiencing sadness and loneliness, Murray said. Some 45% of students reported they were almost always or frequently feeling bored. He said only 25% felt the schoolwork was rigorous or challenging enough for them. For the coming year, at least right now, 65% of families want face-to-face learning and 35% of families want virtual learning, Murray said. He said ECISD is formulating a hybrid situation, a mix of online and in-person learning, so as many students and families can be seen as possible. 78% of students said they spent some or quite a bit of the day on learning and completing schoolwork. Some 75% of students in grades 6-12 said they were sometimes, frequently, or almost always stressed out. Some 23% of students said they talked to other classmates frequently or almost all the time. More opportunities to work in pairs or groups were provided this summer, Murray said. Some 39% of ECISD students sometimes, rarely, or never have internet access at home. Murie said this has focused ECISD on removing connectivity barriers for students. According to a slide shown during the webinar, a wide area of the district doesn't have broadband access. "It's a crisis in our community," Murie said. "We've got to make sure that no matter where you live on this really large map, you must have access to broadband." Murie reviewed the district's guiding principles of equity for every child and being a district of leaders that will be on the forefront of this movement to improve education for children. "We believe that our most fragile students should be taught by our best educators. We believe in meeting students where they are academically and socially, emotionally. We believe students deserve a learning experience that is personalized. We believe in acceleration over remediation and the scaffolding that supports acceleration. We believe that assessment using multiple measures drives learning. We believe that our use of resources to support learning, both physical and human, must be effective and efficient. We believe the parents, guardians of our students, as well as our community, are integral to success," according to information on a slide from the webinar. When the outbreak began, Max said the district knew they had to reach out to Panorama to understand the needs of families and students. "Learning and partnering with schools is important for all families," she said. She said it's a false assumption that families with low socioeconomic status are not committed and invested. Max said her district is partnering with families to identify barriers and tackle them one by one. As a result of what students told the district in terms of engagement, Max said the results were similar to ECISD in that some didn't think the learning was rigorous enough, so they developed professional development for teachers to help make it more engaging. She added that it's important for students to continue to be exposed to collaborative activities, even with distance learning. Max said Saddleback Valley Unified School District developed specific models to help teachers do that. Max said the information received from parents was that they were concerned about gaps in learning and how students may not be as involved in learning. As one way to help out, she said they extended summer enrichment opportunities for English learners. "Traditionally, we would have some summer school for English learners, and we knew that was not going to happen. But at the same time, we knew that that type of learning is something that we wanted to continue to provide for them. So we developed a teacher committee. These were committees of teachers from different grade levels, and to think about what are those components of learning for English learners that is important for us in terms of developing their language, and how can we make that happen during the summer in a virtual setting?" Some things, too, that Dr. Murie talked about are the importance of making sure that we have structures in place as a district to really solicit input and to really take into account what families are telling us in terms of their needs. So some examples of that, for instance, would be the Superintendent's Council and Task Force that we have throughout the district. Depending on the initiative, the superintendent, as well as various directors and coordinators of curriculum and instruction, would hold parent nights to really engage parents in the community and understanding about their needs for that particular area, Max said. Landgraf calls for STAR cancellation. State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, submitted a letter to the Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath on Monday calling for a suspension of STAR testing during the 2020-2021 school year. "Now more than ever, we need to allow our teachers the flexibility to teach their students the way they feel is best," Landgraf wrote in the letter. "And we need our students to be inspired and motivated to learn, not overcome with anxiety about a punitive test being administered in the most unprecedented health crisis in modern history." Earlier this year, Morath obtained waivers from the U.S. Department of Education to waive statewide assessment and accountability requirements for the 2019-2020 school year because of the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, a news release said. In his letter to the agency head, Landgraf asks Morath to use the same reasoning to secure waivers for the upcoming school year as well. It is obvious that administering this test in 2020-2021 will not provide an accurate assessment of Texas students or the quality of their education. It would be testing for the sake of testing, a notion to which I am adamantly and vehemently opposed, Landgraf concludes in the letter. Unless waivers are granted by the federal government, states are required to assess student and teacher progress annually in order to draw federal dollars for public education funding. However, Landgraf and other Texas legislators have long argued that the state of Texas' assessments of academic readiness goes far and above what is required by federal law and fails to accurately assess student achievement, the release said. Hello, this is Michael, continuing reading today's Odessa American local articles for Tuesday, July 14th. Discovery Education on Air for Students by Ruth Campbell. Now broadcast twice a week on the CW network, ECISD at Home is offering Discovery Education programming for the summer. Discovery has an education sector, Chief Innovation Officer Jason Osborne said. That's who we're partnering with. And also Discovery Communications is who we contracted with to get these episodes on air for free. Osborne said Discovery Education provides amazing instructional videos. He added that reading and math will probably be target the most. We only have 2 days a week and we have 58 minutes of programming, Osborne said. We want to make sure that the programming that's up there is really targeted to an area that we need in our district. He added that there is a need all over, but the district has to consider its target audience. We figure that we'll probably get more audience participants from elementary level students than we would for middle or high school. We do want to target elementary campuses and the content that goes with it. It just fits really, really well, Osborne said. The district broadcast programming 5 days a week for students during the school year, with each level getting its own day of programming. Lauren Tavares, now Director of Instructional Technology for ECISD, said the process of putting together a TV show was time-consuming. Tavares added that there was a small team that in part included herself, Gabriella Granado, and Jed Dusler. The programming was geared towards students that might not have access to online learning, but had access to a TV. They discussed what they could put in the programming to support student learning for 1 hour a day, depending on their age group. We did designate each day of the week for a different audience, so the programming we developed for Monday was for parents. On Tuesday, pre-K through 2nd. Wednesday, grades 3 through 5. Thursday, middle school, and then Friday for high schoolers, Tavares said. In compiling the content, Tavares said they wanted to include reading, math, science, social studies, and fine arts. She said the fine arts department and professional development office did a great job. Just the amount of teamwork that went into that was really neat to see come together, because going into it, we weren't real sure what we were going to get. But the quality of the content that teachers were able to create for us was incredible, with basically no training, Tavares added. She noted that she loves technology, but not everybody is comfortable with it. I know that sometimes people struggle with it, and there's a large learning curve. So they took some time to do that on top of also creating content, because they cared about the kids, and they wanted students to still be able to get information. We determined as a team what content we were going to include. Myself and Gabby split the programming schedules. Then we were each responsible for contacting the different departments. We contacted coordinators, just different representatives from each area. They helped us, and they reached out to people they thought would be willing to help, Tavares said. At first, she said people were a little hesitant because they didn't know how to create content for TV, and they didn't have a recording studio, although no one else did either. We all made it happen, and I thought that actually brought a lot to the programming because it was very authentic, Tavares said. We reached out to people and said, hey, we need this segment. Can you get something for us? And they were awesome. The C&I, Curriculum and Instruction, department, did a lot to help us out, she added. As the weeks went on, people started getting more comfortable with it and enjoying it. You never knew who was going to show up on the programming because it was such a combination of people from all over our district. And by the end of that, we just had people uploading their own content because they wanted to help and they were interested in doing it, she said. We had a lot to choose from. We actually ended up not using some of it, unfortunately, which isn't to say that in the future we can't, she added. Tavares said she would also like to thank the whole team for their efforts. Director of Communications Mike Atkins said whether ECISD at home will continue after the summer is still being evaluated. TV is a great way to reach kids where they are, especially when we can't have them in the school building on a regular basis. So that's what makes this an attractive thing to keep going. It is really hard work, though. I want to call out Jed Dusler from our office as well. He's done a lot of TV production, and so he was really the one who kind of pulled it all together once it was in. We got so much good stuff from people, Adkins said. He added that Dusler fixed a lot of the technical glitches and created a lot of the graphics and animation. Then Adkins said Dusler stitched it all together to create a 58-minute program. Adkins said Dusler also kept morale up and encouraged them to get involved. This being summer, Adkins said the district doesn't have a lot of the same people available, so they are thankful for Discovery's partnership. We are going to talk with KOSA and figure out if this has any long-term future, any long-term viability. What kind of time and resources it would require from us, but also of them, because their staff has work to do as well, Adkins said. Osborne noted that the district doesn't know what's going to happen with the coronavirus and whether that will mean a virtual start to school. If that's the case, then we need to provide as many resources as possible for remote learning or at-home learning. Those conversations will definitely have to happen sometime this summer, Osborne added. Adkins added that the district wanted to thank KOSA-TV because they called and made the offer of broadcast time to start with. Osborne said ECISD is talking about putting more educational content on its YouTube channel. Right now, Adkins said, it is used for videos, good news videos, news, and announcements. Osborne said it was a pretty incredible collaborative effort that brought ECISD at home to the small screen. It really shows the strength of ECISD when people pull together when we need to do things for kids. It was an amazing effort and challenging, but super rewarding, Osborne said. He noted that they learn skills from other people, and it was good to see people they don't normally see since it is a large district. We're all learning together and working together, so it really builds a stronger team, and then now, obviously, I can reach out to people that have those hidden skills that I didn't know they had, Osborne said. Court views burn ban. Illegal dumping investigators discussed. Owing to a paucity of summertime rain and resultant very dry conditions, Ector County commissioners today will consider enacting a countywide burn ban. Precinct 3 Commissioner Dale Childers is scheduled to make the proposal during the court's regular 10 a.m. meeting today in the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street. In other business, the commissioners will hear Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George's request for part-time investigators to join the county's fight against illegal dumping. As has become her bi-monthly custom, Judge Debbie Hayes will lead a discussion of COVID-19-related issues. The court will also hear County Attorney Dusty Gallivan's request to hire an investigator. Consider budget amendments totaling $80,000 for autopsies and $20,000 for transport expenses in the medical examiner's office. Accept a $750 donation to the sheriff's office from Sellers State Farm Insurance. Accept a donation from Anthony Carrillo of 60 rifle slings for the sheriff's office. Accept 300 COVID-19 masks from Medical Center Hospital. Discuss paying overtime to maintenance employees instead of giving compensatory time. Discuss bid specifications for the purchase of emulsified asphalt for road work. Consider a $20,080 change order for concrete pads at the No Trees and Pinwell radio towers. Review a communications license for Insight Towers to install radio equipment at the Troy Road Tower. Consider a job description for a disease intervention specialist at the health department. Hear a proposal from Lindy Wright to hire a deputy clerk in the tax assessor collector's office. Consider a request from Rebecca Taylor for the county library to hire a librarian and replace two clerks who were assigned to the health department. Council to allocate CDBG COVID-19 funds by Michael Merlo. Council members will consider multiple items during Tuesday's virtual council meeting, including the allocation of Community Development Block Grant Coronavirus Funds, CDBGCV, to multiple nonprofits in Odessa. Director of Community Development, Marita Sandoval, told council that while the city has received applications requesting the total amount of $827,410, they only have $514,533 in CDBG-CV funds. She added that there were requests for administrative costs that weren't eligible because of a lack of information, and the agenda detailed that a deadline would be given to those to turn in that information. Applicants looking to get funding include Meals on Wheels, the Salvation Army, Sharing Hands, a Respite Experience, SHARE, Odessa Links, and Family Promise and Centers for Children and Families. The CDBG-CV funds are offered in four categories, including food assistance, rent, mortgage, utility assistance, homeless assistance, and mental health counseling. Meals on Wheels representatives expressed during an earlier council meeting that they needed money to continue to help feed the elderly, and the meeting agenda detailed stated their narrative application. Many of the elderly disabled citizens of Odessa live on a very low income and do not have the means to purchase the food they need. Typically, they live alone, and most do not have any family in the area. And after receiving $204,961 in CDBG funds, 65 people will receive a hot meal 5 days a week and will also receive weekend meals or food items each Friday. Council will also consider a bid award to CED Energy Electrical Distribution for $94,050 to purchase 19 mini power packs for McKinney Park. Director of Parks and Recreation, Steve Patton, stood in front of the council at the Powell Gym last week and said, "These are power packs for Starbright Village," adding that this purchase would replace every mini power pack that's out there and probably get us ready for the next 10 years. Council also plans to consider a $224,867 award for professional services to conduct the City of Odessa Facility Needs Assessment and Conceptual Planning. Other items. Consent Agenda. Consider approval of the request by Investment Corporation of America, owners, to rezone Windsor Height Addition, 6th Filing, Block 55, Drill Site Number 7, 5.27 acres, from Single Family to Drill Reservation, SF 2DR, to Office District, O, approximately 5.27 acres, Odessa, Ector County, Texas, southeast of the intersection of East 37th Street and Inglewood Lane. Ordinance, second and final approval. Consider amending Chapter 14 of the City Code of Ordinances, Section 14.11.1, Fences and Screening. Ordinance, second and final approval. Consider an ordinance to install traffic signals. Ordinance, second and final approval. Consider approval of annual renewal contract with Fox Scientific for the purchase of lab supplies. Public hearing. Open a public hearing to consider approval of the request by Stacy James and Donna Bell, owners, to rezone from single family to district, SF2, to Neighborhood Services District, NS, on approximately 0.48 acre, lots 18 and 19, Block 106, Crescent Park, Odessa, Ector County, Texas, southeast of the intersection of North Grandview Avenue and Oakwood Drive. ordinance, first approval. Open a public hearing to consider approval of the request of James R. Hurt et al., owners, City of Odessa, Kirk Strahan, agents, to rezone from single-family 3 district, Drill Reservation, SF3DR, to single-family 3 district, SF3, south, 3.67 acres of Lot 2, Block 1, Ratliff Ranch, 38-1, southeast of the intersection of East 87th Street and Dawn Avenue. Ordinance, first approval. Open a public hearing to consider approval of the request by PPR Properties, LLC, owner, for original zoning of light commercial, LC, on 13.36 acres tract located in Section 39, Block 42, T2S, TNP, Rye Company, Survey, Ector County, Texas, west of the intersection of South Highway 385 and Mercer Road. Ordinance, first approval resolution. Consider the approval of a professional services agreement with Texas Coalition for Affordable Power, TCAP, for participation in a strategic hedging program, SHP, for the procurement of wholesale energy. Citizen comments on non-agenda items and adjourn. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center sets shows. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center has announced a show featuring Herman's Hermits, starring Peter Noon, September 20th, and a Facebook Live event featuring the Midland Festival Ballet. Tickets for Herman's Hermits, starring Peter Noon, go on sale at 10 a.m. Friday at WagnerNoel.com. For more information and to read about the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center's new social distancing and COVID prevention procedures, visit www.WagnerNoel.com/events/detail/PeterNoone-2020. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center's new Facebook Live series, Wagner Noel Live, will feature local talent from Midland, Odessa, with performances being broadcast through its Facebook page, facebook.com/Wagner-Noel, at 7 p.m. RSVP to facebook.com/events/684-361-6957-22061 to be notified once they go live.
The Ellen Noel Museum holds hashtag #MaskUpOdessa poster contest. The story was written by Sam Waller. The Ellen Noel Art Museum is joining forces with other local organizations to encourage Odessans to take the proper precautions during the coronavirus pandemic. The hashtag #MaskUpOdessa poster contest is accepting entries from artists of all ages, styles, and abilities to help spread the message that wearing a mask is important for not only one's own safety, but for the health of loved ones. Quote, "This contest was put together by the museum, Odessa Arts, Discover Odessa, and the Odessa Chamber of Commerce," said Ashley Flores, the development and marketing manager at the Ellen Noel Art Museum. Quote, "We're just encouraging everyone to get creative with this contest and look at it as a fun way to encourage our community to come together and mask up. We think this is a small gesture to say thank you just by wearing a mask, to say thank you to healthcare workers as they help us fight COVID-19. End quote. The entries will be judged by the panel of Sheila Perry, Executive Director of the Ellen Noel Art Museum, Randy Hamm, Executive Director of Odessa Arts, and Renee Earls, President and CEO of the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. The winning poster will be printed out and available for our local businesses to use at no cost. First prize will be a $100 gift card to Michael's Arts and Crafts Store, plus a $150 gift certificate for Ellen Noel Art Museum classes. Second place will receive a $50 gift card to Michael's and a $100 gift certificate for Ellen Noel Art Museum classes. Third place will receive a $25 gift card to Michael's and a $50 gift certificate for Ellen Noel Art Museum classes. In addition, every entry will receive a $25 certificate toward Ellen Noel Art Museum classes. Quote, "That's for adults and kids classes," Flores said. "Right now, we're getting into our summer kids programs and camps, and they can use that $25 card toward that," end quote. Flores said the scope of the contest should be expanded based on the number of entries. Quote, "At the moment, it's going to be one division," she said. "We're going to see how many different age groups we get entering the contest. Later on, we will decide if we need to add different categories." Entries must be submitted online through noelartmuseum.org/maskupodessa, and the form must be completed. Entry is free, and entry deadline is midnight on July 31st. Winners will be announced at noon on August 10th. Quote, "We're just encouraging people to have fun with this and come together wearing their masks and trying to get their memories down," Flores said. The contest is in addition to the museum's ongoing summer programs, Flores said. Quote, "Right now we have two exhibitions going on, and we are requiring visitors to wear masks," she said. "The hours have changed. Right now they're noon to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. The first hour, noon to 1 p.m., is reserved for seniors and at-risk visitors," end quote. Nearly $900,000 in CARES Act funding distributed to SRSU students. Sul Ross State University has distributed $889,000 in funding from the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Securities Act to students at all four SRSU campuses. The announcement was made Thursday. Sul Ross received $1.8 million in CARES Act funding in late May, following application of funds in April. A portion of the funding also covers institutional relief programs. Quote, "From the first day we learned we would be receiving CARES funding to help our students impacted by COVID-19, the Sul Ross team went into action to get the funds into the hands of students as fast as we could," Chris Clifford, Vice President of Budget and Finance, said. Continuing the quote, "I want to thank the committee that worked on this also, as well as Karina Ramirez and Terry Salas in accounting, for processing these awards quickly and efficiently so they would get to students in a timely fashion," end quote. Clifford also noted how SRSU was a leader in expediting funding to students. Quote, "I was consistently impressed that Sul Ross was ahead of many larger universities around the nation when it came to getting this grant into the hands of students quickly so they could use the money to help address important needs caused by the pandemic," he said. Quote, "The CARES Act Student Grant Committee took the task of disseminating these funds very seriously," said Brandy Snyder, Associate Dean of Students. Continuing the quote, "Knowing the impact this money would have on student lives in the wake of COVID-19 was pivotal to their progress," end quote. Quote, "I would like to thank the committee members for the time and effort that they have devoted to this responsibility. I appreciate the diligence that they had to the federal eligibility requirements and to maintaining consistent standards to the decision-making process," she said. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Odessa American on Tuesday, July 14th. Mary Jo Clark Briley, age 94, of Odessa, passed away on July 10th, 2020, at home, surrounded by her family. She was born in Abilene, Texas, on April 5, 1926, to the late Dewey Mae Blair and Clarence Hutchins. She grew up in Merkel, Texas, and graduated from Merkel High School in 1943. Mary Jo is survived by her daughter, Linda Reese, grandchildren Melinda Lauterbach and husband Brian, Lori Wagner and husband Randy, and Allison Nelson and husband Joel, several great-grandchildren, and several great-great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her parents, Dewey and Clarence Hutchins, daughter Vicki McMillan, and son-in-law Ronald Reese. Public viewing will be on Wednesday, July 15th from 1 to 5 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Funeral services will be Thursday, July 16th at 1 p.m. at Odessa Bible Church with Pastor Bob Thayer officiating. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Simona Salcido passed away on July 11th. Simona was born in Andrews on July 7, 1979, to her loving parents, Ruben and Carolina Salcido. She was a graduate from Permian High School in 2001. She is preceded in death by her paternal and maternal grandparents, her father, Ruben. She is survived by her beautiful mother and life partner, Carolina, brothers Ruben, Blady, Dulcis, and Efren, sisters Luz, Juana, Rosie. She was also survived by several nieces and nephews and great-nieces and nephews. A graveside service is set for Wednesday, July 15th at 11 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens in Odessa. Minister Martha Fierro will officiate. Graveside services is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to Pipkin at nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. On Thursday, July 9th, Hortensia Covos Sanchez, age 93, of Odessa, departed in his sleep to spiritually join her husband, Adalberto Rodriguez Sanchez, preceded by their daughter, Aurelia Sanchez, son, Alonso A. Sanchez, plus five little angels. She was born to Miguel and Paula Covos on June 17, 1927, in Presidio, Texas. She is survived by five daughters and four sons, Alice Cedillos, Delia Ortiz, Bertha Patino, Dora Avila, Olga Mata, Adalberto Jr. Sanchez, Orlando Sanchez, Joel Sanchez, David Sanchez, also 30 grandchildren and 57 great-grandchildren and two great-great-grandchildren. Her brothers, Oscar Covos, Lucio Covos, Edmundo Covos, and Irvi Covos. Due to the rules, regulations, and restrictions set forward at this time, our hearts are saddened that we cannot share this moment with everybody, but in the near future, the family will be having a special memorial celebration service to honor her with the grand farewell deserved for Mrs. Sanchez. We will invite everyone to join us. Thank you for your prayers. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, July 15th, at St. Anthony's Catholic Church, with Father Tony Franco officiating. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in Los Angeles section. Arrangements are under Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. Please visit our website at www.martinezfuneral.com to sign guestbook and give condolences. Charles Billy McAfee, also known as C.B. McAfee, age 87, went home to be with our Lord and Savior on July 10th. Funeral services will be held at 9:30 a.m. Tuesday, July 14th, at the Friendship Baptist Church of Albany, with Pastor Paul Johnson officiating. Burial will follow in the Albany Cemetery under the direction of Bailey Howard Funeral Home of Clyde. Charles Bailey was born to Charles C.V. and Mary Cunningham on December 24, 1932, in Albany. He worked in Odessa for many years. He was preceded in death by his parents, Charles Vanis and Mary Ella Cunningham McAfee, his sister and brother-in-law, Mary Eleven and Kenneth Spurgeon, and his son-in-law, Hugh Koenig. He is survived by his loving wife, Frances Waters McAfee, his daughters, Linda McAfee Crutcher and husband Larry, Cheryl McAfee Glover, and Kay McAfee Koenig. He is also survived by several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He leaves behind many close family and friends who knew him at ARCO. He will be greatly missed. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations to the Children's Miracle Network, the American Legion, or the charity of your choice. Online condolences may be made at www.baileyhowardfuneralhome.com. Lloyd Bean, age 90, died Saturday, July 11th in Odessa. Services are pending with Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Irma Sylvia Bissey, age 80, died Saturday, July 11th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. This is the medical advice column, To Your Good Health, by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 66-year-old woman of British-Irish ancestry. In the past few years, I have developed severe bruises on my arms in response to the slightest bump against objects or simply wearing a watch or bracelet. My doctor says it's just aging and thin skin. Is there any reason for this to be happening? What can I do to stop it? My arms look as if I've been beaten up. My mother had this also. Answer. Senile purpura is the term given to easy bruising found in older people when no specific cause can be found. Senile means having to do with aging, from the Latin senex, for old man. It has an unfortunate connection to dementia because the term senile dementia used to be used for all types of dementia, especially Alzheimer's disease. It is thankfully no longer used. The diagnosis of senile purpura can usually be made by a careful history and physical exam, but blood testing is sometimes done to exclude less common and more concerning causes of easy bruising. Treatment usually is not required. Sometimes vitamin A-derived skin creams are used to help slow skin aging, which reduces bruising. A high diet in plants, especially a specific set of compounds called bioflavonoids, may improve the bruising tendency.
Dear Abby, woman fumes when man won't take time to phone. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship with the same man for 15 years. For the last 6, we have been living together. He's a machinist who owns his own business and works strict hours of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Sometimes he locks his doors at 5 and works an hour or two later, but he doesn't call to let me know he is working late. I have told him calling is common courtesy. Sometimes he does it, but more often he does not. He thinks it's ridiculous that I would wonder where he is, and if I want to know, I can call his shop. Last Saturday morning, he was up at 6 a.m. and told me he needed to drive 100 miles north of here to look at a project for a customer to see if he can fix it. When I asked what the project was, he said he didn't know. This guy is someone he has recently started a friendship with. It seemed odd that he wouldn't let me go along for the ride. He said he'd have his phone on him and I could call any time to see where he was. When I didn't hear from him all day, I started calling around 7 p.m. and 3 times after that, but he didn't pick up. He pulled back into our driveway around 10 p.m. and told me he was helping the guy move cows, and he would have called me on the way home, but his phone died. I'm upset. He had dinner with them, and they have a landline he could have used. I told him how hurt I was and that I feel disrespected. He says he deserved a day to himself. He thinks I'm being ridiculous. Am I? Do I not deserve a phone call? Waiting and waiting in Montana. Dear Waiting, you are not ridiculous. It was thoughtless of him not to call, but you said it doesn't happen all the time. You are his lady friend, not his keeper. If he needs a day to himself, it might benefit your relationship to cut him some slack. And when it happens again, schedule something fun for yourself so you aren't sitting by the phone. Dear Abby, our family and extended family are all highly educated individuals with advanced degrees. My son's wife didn't go to college, and while she is genuinely nice, she butchers the English language. My granddaughter will be learning to talk soon, and I wonder what's the best way to approach the situation. I don't want to offend my daughter-in-law, but I also don't want my granddaughter learning improper grammar. What are your suggestions on how to handle this problem? Unsure on the West Coast. Dear Unsure, because your family and extended family are well-educated and hold advanced degrees, the more time your grandchild spends with all of you, the better her chances of learning proper grammar. Do not talk baby talk with her. Read to her and give her books as gifts. If her mother reads them to her daughter, they both may have a better chance of learning good grammar. Being around her well-educated father will also help, and once she's in school, it will be reinforced. The only thing you should not do is say anything that will make your son's wife self-conscious about her upbringing, because if you do, you may be seeing a lot less of that little family.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Cancer and a moon in Taurus. Happy birthday for Tuesday, July 14, 2020. Seductive and fascinating, you have a soulful story to tell. You are convincing to the point of working magic in others' unconscious. This year, you create a masterpiece. If single, you draw many admirers to you and must decide if you just want one mate. If attached, time and patience nurture true love. You periodically become depressed, so it is crucial that your partner understand and support you. Cancer understands moods. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Today ushers in a cycle of greater external expression. It is perfect for multitasking with aplomb. Make decisions, plan studies, and finish paperwork. Your financial situation will begin to steadily brighten. Use the added abundance to do good for yourself and for others. Tonight, relax. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 5 stars. There is much to celebrate today. A time of growth and opportunity commences, bringing a vision of your year to come. Commitments made will stick, so be cautious if considering a promise that could entangle. Tonight, give yourself the gift of tonight off. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 3 stars. Today points to a need for some extra rest and retreat. Your energy will be replenished, and you will be able to get organized during hours of peaceful solitude. By tomorrow, you will be ready to be more interactive. Tonight, get a good night's sleep. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 3 stars. Unconscious attitudes at work can be difficult, and you tend to keep your feelings secret now. Relations with women can be hard. It's a great day for a mystical or spiritual discipline. Your intuition is heightened. Tonight, journal your most intimate thoughts. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Leo is synonymous with royalty, blending confidence with affection. The lion shines with genuine charisma. Today, don't take others for granted. Associates might not be as they first appear. Competitive situations are present. Tonight, you are the winner in a conflict. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 2 stars. Your vitality might be up and down. Be good to yourself. Since your love and romance sector is impacted, a relationship can be in a sluggish or uncertain phase. Make no demands. Be a true friend to the one you care for. Tonight, rest easy. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Fate takes a hand in the direction of your money situation. Settlements, contracts, investments, tax returns, or possibly an inheritance is involved. Friends can offer financial opportunities. Enlist help. Tonight, the path to realizing a long-cherished financial goal opens. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Your closest relationships will require some effort today. The secret to maintaining harmony is to try to see both sides. Be a very good listener. Reconsider the value of long-time bonds. Learn from the past, then release it. Tonight, at home. Make it easy. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 2 stars. Today finds you faced with some rigidity. Play by the rules patiently. Make the most of the status quo. Shortcuts will not work right now. Hesitate if you are contemplating a residential or work change. Tonight, stress lessens and you get a reprieve. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Your social prospects are really promising today. A contact, possibly a relationship, with someone a little older or younger could be very successful. An exciting and life-changing intimate relationship is possible. Tonight, celebrate the inner you. Play the night away. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. Examine ways to make housing as comfy and hospitable as possible. Call ahead before running errands to avoid the proverbial wild goose chase. Dreams and hunches about domestic matters should be heeded. Tonight, be good to yourself. Do not push yourself too hard. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. There might be a difference of beliefs and values brewing with a sibling or a neighbor. Do not be sentimental. Instead, pursue what works in the here and now with family and neighborhood dynamics. Tonight, catch up with old friends via Zoom, emails, and calls. Born today, artist Gustav Klimt, 1862, singer-songwriter Woody Guthrie, 1912, director Ingmar Bergman, 1918.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.